Hello, Don't Ask Tig listeners. Tig here. Before I get started with my guest, I just wanted to share something that happened when I was traveling from New York to Los Angeles. I was at the airport and they were calling the, it's first class and then comfort plus and then coach. And I got in line for my boarding group. And then there is this suspicious guy that appeared to my right that was trying to, in the chaos of boarding, wedge himself in right before me. And I didn't say anything because I really didn't want to have a conversation about this, but I definitely gave him a glance that said, excuse me, but he kept trying to inch his way in and like somehow get ahead of me. And I know in the grand scheme of things, it's like, okay, he gets on right before me, no big deal, but it's annoying. It's so annoying. And if you're out there doing that, or that was you, and maybe it was you, Hope and I would talk about it on my podcast. Well, guess what? Your wish came true because it was annoying and I'm talking about it on my podcast. Should I have said something to him? Or should I just give him that look of like, you, oh gosh. And then just inch up in front of him. No, you don't. It's so stupid. But he wasn't there. He wasn't in line with the rest of us. And he was acting like he was, yeah, he's looking at his phone. He's moving his suitcase. He doesn't know what's going on. He's just is jumping to the front of the line. He's wedging. No, you're not. No, you're not. All right. Well, I just wanted to share that since we all know each other so well at this point. Now on with the show. Hi, Mike Birbiglia.
Hi, Tig Notaro.
It's so funny to start a show, like to try and get a show started and have all the technical stuff and not really talk to your friend who's on Zoom. And
no, I know.
I'm still getting myself situated over here. We haven't started. This isn't...
this isn't real.
Or maybe we have. I mean, we'll see how good this is.
Well, this is gold. I think
yeah,
this is
it feels
gold
like maybe
sure.
We have started.
Well, that's the thing about you and me. Even when what we're talking about is so boring, it's gold.
It's boring gold.
It's boring gold.
We are not alone and nobody is hopeless. Everybody goes to shit. We got a friend in Tig. Yeah.
This is Don't Ask Tig. I'm Tig Notaro, giving the advice you should never have asked for in the first place. You know my guest today from his roles on Orange is the New Black and Billions. He has a podcast called Mike Birbiglia's Working It Out. He also has not one, but four comedy specials streaming on Netflix. Mike Birbiglia, my dear friend, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I love this show. It's weird when you're on the show that you love.
It is weird. And you have a tremendous show. Yours is so fun. And people listening now should go to Working It Out.
Yeah, workingitoutpod.com.
Yeah. Mike, you gave advice in the New York Times a while back about making it in Hollywood. And
that article was called Six Tips for Making It Small in Hollywood.
The advice that you gave for hopeful comedians, writers, and filmmakers was maybe quit.
Yeah. And actually, the main thrust of that six tips is if you want to create or be a writer or be a director, create. Just create. Mm-hmm. Just start. Mm-hmm. Any number of books, The Artist's Way, Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott. There's one by Mary Carr called The Art of Memoir. I mean, there's so many resources towards how do you create a ritual of writing every day, working every day? If there's anything I can teach anyone or give them advice, it's basically if you want to create, create, get earnest feedback, learn mm-hmm. from your mistakes, and then keep creating. And I'm 42 years old now, and I've been doing this a long time, and I still do that. It's the same. It's the same as yeah. when I started 20 something years ago.
And so where does the maybe quit fall in?
I think the maybe quit, I forget the order of it, but it's basically mm-hmm. like, if you don't want to do that, maybe mm-hmm. quit, because that's yeah. sort of part of it.
Right.
Maybe it's not for you. You know, like, in other words, like I feel like there's a sense sometimes when you talk to people who want to get into show business or make movies or whatever it is, that sometimes people have it in their head, I just have to do this. And then you say, okay, well, you should do it. And they're like, well, I don't know if I want to do it. You're like, okay, yeah. maybe quit.
Yeah, they don't want to do what it takes to actually do
yeah.
it sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing it for almost 25 years.
Same.
And I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm still starting over in different areas and with new projects. And it's a long road. It's a fun, interesting road, but it's hard.
Yeah.
And it takes real commitment. But I would say when it's the thing you want to do, you don't look back over the 25 years and go, oh my God, I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
Even though it was hard and it was focused and I feel like it's what was happening. What should have been happening. It's the only thing that could have been happening
yeah.
for me. And now I'm here, but I still have more to go, hopefully.
Yeah.
But it's a trek.
It never becomes easy.
No, but it's always interesting.
It's always interesting.
Yeah. And
there's boring.
And I love what I do.
There's boring gold around every corner.
There sure is.
And sometimes there's exciting gold. I had one that was fun where I dropped my daughter off at a little musical camp. And I was with some of the other parents. And we all went to this cafe. And I get a coffee. And it's early in the morning. And I'm bleary-eyed, tired. And I'm about to drink my first sip of coffee. And I look up, and a bird poops into my eye. And to be clear, from like probably 20, 30 feet up, any solid or even partially solid liquid material from 30 feet in the air hurts. But when it is
yeah.
bird poop, it hurts in a spiritual, deep spiritual way. And my friend Rob is one of the dads. He looks over and he goes, he knows I'm a comedian. He goes, it's good material. And I said, Rob, I still have the poop in my eye. You know, comedy is tragedy plus right. time, but like a little more time.
Yeah. Yeah. A little more time. And you know, I have to say this guy was right. But a lot of times, the person that says, that's good material, is wrong.
That's right. That's true, too.
Very, very oftentimes, there are people that will be around a comedian that are wanting so desperately to be the one that points out the funny thing
yes.
that will be in your bit next.
Yes. So
that's going to go into your...
That's your shtick.
That's
good for a sitcom. Yeah,
that's good. You should write yeah. that down. Huh?
Yep.
What do you think of our family? We're crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's rarely... on target, but this guy, he knew when that poop went into your eye.
Yeah, yeah.
That's golden. That's golden boring? Boring
no,
golden?
Boring gold or
boring
versus
gold.
I think exciting gold.
Yeah, that was exciting gold. Right in the eye.
That was exciting gold.
It was exciting gold. Well, Mike, you know, we've officially arrived at that part of the show where we try to solve my listeners' problems. As we start, it's important that you know, it's not even important, but I'm just going to let you know that the first question comes from Norway.
Oh.
All the way from Norway.
No kidding.
By a person who wishes to be called Norway.
Okay.
All right.
Hello, Norway.
Norway writes, I have inherited a bunad, which is a national costume from my grandmother who passed away. I really want one of those. And man, they are pricey, about $6,000. But here's the problem. My grandmother was kind of evil, and I haven't had any contact with her the last 15 years. What should I do about this national costume? I feel like it needs some sort of exorcism if I'm going to keep it.
Did Norway receive the costume yet?
It seems like it hasn't arrived yet, but that they know that they are getting it.
I think one way to approach it would be to do something in the costume mm-hmm. that is the antithesis of what the grandmother would do, that has a more positive spin, create a more positive energy with the costume. So like, for example, if Norway couldn't stand the grandmother because she said mean things about Norway, let's say, that Norway could wear the costume and go around for a day and give people compliments all day unsolicited.
That's incredible. Do you know what a bunad looks like?
I don't. No.
That would be the interesting thing, is if it's really funny looking or scary looking,
yes,
then Norway might, you know, be pulled off the public streets.
Oh, that could be. And that would be a whole other energy.
That would be a whole other, but it would be Norway's own energy.
Of course. It would make it very personal.
I mean, we could do you know how to do an exorcism?
No, but I feel like I could look at a how-to YouTube video and get a sense of it.
Well, what if you didn't have time and you just were going to do it right now on this podcast? What do you think in your mind? Because I'm trying to think, could we do an exorcism for Norway?
Okay.
But I don't really know what exorcisms are like.
So one way we could do it is that I could pay you a compliment.
Uh-huh.
And then give it some kind of a sound effect to go with it, so it would have a little bit of a surreal quality to it.
Okay, sure.
Like Tig, I respect you so much because I think you are brave.
What was that word?
Brave. I stretched it out to give it an exercising quality.
Okay. Should I do one to you?
Yeah, why not?
Mike, I really appreciate you because I think you are tremendously thoughtful!
Oh my gosh, I enjoyed that so much.
That hurt my throat.
I'm so sorry.
Do you think we're helping Norway or just helping ourselves? Should we do one for Norway?
For Norway, I would say, okay, Norway, I appreciate you because you're open to receiving help.
Norway, I hope this helps.
Oh, gosh.
Is that anything like an exorcism?
I don't know. I was just trying to, from memories of movies with exorcisms, trying to like, just dress it up a bit.
That's a good podcast, Memories of Exorcisms. Norway, that's what Mike and I think you should do, is put on the outfit, go be positive, and if all else fails, you know, worst case scenario, go sell that thing. Make $6,000.
Make some scratch.
Yeah.
Give it to charity, no less. That'd be a good vibe.
Give the cash. Yeah, I don't know. Like if you donate that outfit, whatever it is, to charity, they might be like, thanks a lot. Mike, don't go anywhere. We're just getting started, and we'll return with more questions after the break.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.
I just feel like we are surrounded in this world by bullshit.
So how can you know what's real and what's not? Science versus. That's how. We answer questions like, does anti-aging skincare actually work? And what is your true personality type? And to answer these questions, we don't use opinions. We dive into the scientific studies, talk to the experts, and put it in a podcast that I know you are gonna love. Listen to Science versus on Spotify.
And we are back with more questions. Mike, this next one comes from Nicole. Nicole writes, I really don't want to be rude when folks ask me for money while I'm walking down the street, but I often fumble with what to say. Sorry doesn't sound right. Same when I'm asked to sign a petition or whatever it may be, but I'm just not in the mood. I figured you might have a phrase or two in your back pocket. How can I still be warm and friendly while not stopping to engage? Well, I struggle with that as well. You know, it might be a good time to check in with yourself and think, can I help the world in certain ways? Even if it's not financially, could I donate my time to this, or could I drop off my grandmother's evil costume to some charity, or, you know, and that way, because I know for myself, when I don't have time or money, when I'm asked something, what I try to be able to do is, oh, I give my time to this, or I've, you know, given my whatever it is, my time or my money to some sort of organization, or I'm, you know what I'm talking about, Mike?
I think absolutely. I think that's one of the things that I shifted towards in the last year, is that with my podcast, I created this section called Working It Out for a Cause, where each week the guest chooses a nonprofit that I will donate money to, and we link to it in the show notes. And it's actually opened my eyes to so many organizations who your friends respect, and then you look into them, and then you respect and you support. Right. So that's like one way to try to sort of, like you're saying, sort of like holistically bring it into your consciousness.
For sure. And it's funny because one time I was out of town, and when I got back in town, and this is going to sound like it makes no sense, and why am I telling this story? But I don't like giving high fives, Mike. And Stephanie isn't really into high fives either. And, you know, even pre-pandemic, just like the hand touching and the, it's a skip. And so that's the good thing that's come out of the pandemic, is the handshaking and the high fiving, and I think is to a minimum. I can touch an elbow here or there, but one time when I came back in town after being gone for a couple of weeks, I was walking down the street with Stephanie, and this woman that was on the sidewalk said to Stephanie, and I don't know if I can really quite convey how ridiculous this situation was, but we're walking down the sidewalk. This woman says, "Hey, Steph." I'm looking at this woman going, "Who is this?" Because not only does she know my wife, but she's calling her Steph.
Yeah, short.
Steph, hey. So is this, how are the kids? Where are the boys? Is this the wife? And right when we were walking past her, she high-fives Stephanie. And Stephanie is turning, saying, "Yeah, this is, and I wave and we go by." And she was one of those people that wants you to sign a petition. And Stephanie, I found out while I was out of town, got cornered by this woman, signed up, signed a petition,
amazing,
donated money.
Oh my gosh.
And I was immediately like, who are you? Where?
Oh my gosh.
How long have I been gone? This woman is calling you Steph, and she's high-fiving you. like, how sucked into this charity have you gotten? And yes. I'm realizing you had to be there moment.
No, I think that's a great story.
Let's leave the awkwardness there at the end of it. Let's let people really feel it. While I was telling that, I was thinking, I bet Mike Birbiglia could have written that story out better than I did. If that happened to you, or if I told you that story and we really got into it, you could have worked that story out.
I think that what would make it a story mm-hmm. for the stage would just be to ask yourself the question, how did that make you feel?
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe exploring that, because it is a weird feeling when your wife or husband is interacting with someone in a way that is sort of shocking to you. And you go like, wait, what happened?
And to find out she is a woman that Stephanie, like, it meant that Stephanie hung out with her for X amount of time. To say, I have kids, I have a spouse.
Yeah.
And Stephanie was high-fiving, which is something she doesn't do.
Right.
And the woman was calling her Steph. I missed so many beats. I am so off track. But as far as giving money and the sorry and the signing a petition, do you feel like my advice kind of...
I think your advice is fantastic. I mean... I would only build on that by saying my go-to when people approach me where I live in Brooklyn is just saying, like, I appreciate what you're doing, but I have to be somewhere right now.
Mm-hmm.
And which is almost always true because I'm walking almost always for transportation.
Right. Yeah. But saying that is nice. I appreciate what you're doing. Or I'll look into the cause.
Oh, sure. Sure.
That could be something good, too, is to say, I will look into the cause and what you are doing, but I am late for...
Improv rehearsal.
Improv rehearsal. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I've been a flyer handout person in my life, and one thing that might be helpful for her to know is that it was for my improv shows in my early 20s. I was in a group called Little Man. And in Union Square, we'd hand out, you know, hundreds of these things. And a vast majority of people do not want to talk to you or interact with you. And after a while, it's not personal. It doesn't feel as bad as in some ways it does for the person rejecting you.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. Well, Nicole, write us back, handwritten, of course, and let us know how that goes and if you've incorporated any of this stuff into your day-to-day. Mike?
Yep.
We've come to our final question.
Okay.
And it comes from Abby. This is what we refer to around here as a hoo boy. Hoo boy.
I know it all too well.
Okay. Abby writes, a friend of mine from high school is releasing an EP, and he reached out to tell me that one of the songs is about me. He sent me a rough cut of the song, and it's pretty mean. It says that the memory of me is like a knife piercing at his core. That's not exactly my recollection of the situation.
Oh my gosh.
He's 3 years older than me and very involved in our community. I'm stressed because I'm coming home from college in a week and will almost certainly run into him. I'm not sure how or if to respond. This is a hoo boy in the way that I can feel it for Abby.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a hoo boy to me, personally.
Right.
And I think it has to do with maybe because I'm a comedian.
Sure.
And I think a lot of things don't really affect me, maybe, in sure. in ways. Like, if somebody told me they wrote a song, and even if they said, hey, I wrote a song that's really mean about you,
yeah.
I would think that was kind of funny.
Right.
I don't know how you would feel, Mike. I would think, oh, that's interesting, or that's funny.
I think she should take some peace of mind in that the lyric itself, I think, is not that specific.
Or not that mean, right. Honestly, that their memory of you is like a knife piercing at his core.
Right.
To me, that doesn't sound mean. That sounds like you made a huge impact and effect mm-hmm. on this person. And it sounds like this person had feelings for you, maybe. Would mm-hmm. you?
I think that's right.
Yeah. And so I think it's okay if somebody feels that way about you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I just don't think it's mean. It just sounds like this person is more so in pain.
Yeah. And I think that the self-expression of that lyric to me feels, and I don't know the situation, it feels honest to that person's experience. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem destructive to our caller's life necessarily. Like, I wouldn't look at her and go like, oh, well, she's one of those people who always breaks your heart in this way that is mean.
She's the one behind the knife piercing at his core.
I feel like with comedy, because we talk about these dark, dark things, right? Mm-hmm. That we try to find the humor in the dark thing. I think a lot of times we realize that, oh my gosh, this thing that we were so embarrassed to tell people, actually, they've experienced something. Everyone in the audience has experienced something like it. Maybe not the same thing, but a lot of people have experienced breakups or experienced, you know, deaths and, you know, to people of people close to them and illness and all these things that are devastating at the time. But actually, people vocalizing it is more healthy than not.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like also for him to reach out and send it to you is opening a door for a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if he meant harm, he probably would have named the song Abby and put it out without contacting you. But if somebody contacted me and said that, I would think, oh, this is a moment that's allowing for a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't think people are going to hear this song and think about anything or be upset with Abby. Maybe we're missing the point, though. Do you think we're missing the point?
I don't think we're missing the point. I think it can be shocking. I understand where uh-huh. Abby's coming from. It's uh-huh. shocking at first, certainly, yeah. when someone says, hey, by the way, I have the song about you. And you're like, whoa, what? You know, your gut reaction is like scared, I think. I 100% get it. But I also think like...
See, if somebody said they had a song about me, I'd be like, oh, really? What is it? It says, a knife piercing at my core. Maybe it's a death metal band.
I always think of you, by the way, when I see country music billboards when I'm mm-hmm. when I'm in the South, because I know you genuinely really like country music.
I do.
Yeah.
I also love metal too. I'd probably like this guy's EP. Give me a copy. Yeah, send me a copy. I'll decide if this is, you know.
Let's play it.
All right. Abby, I say have a chat with this friend from high school. Sounds like he's got some unresolved feelings and, you know, and if you don't care enough about him to have a conversation about unresolved feelings, then you certainly shouldn't spend a second caring about these lyrics in his song. Abby, I know to you it was a real hoo boy.
It's a hoo
boy. And we wish you nothing but the best of luck. All right, Mike, before I let you go, we have one last thing to do. It's a segment called Name That Thing.
Name That Thing.
This is the part of the show where people write in when they need us to name that thing for them. Anything from a houseplant to a Wi-Fi network. The catch is they must use the name.
Okay.
This is binding, so we can't mess it up.
Okay.
Are you ready, Mike?
Okay.
Okay. Cam writes, I am 27 years old and recently had to relocate from New York City to my parents' basement because of long COVID illness. I need help with my health and I got a betta fish to keep me company along the journey. He is blue and purple with red fins and has rainbow rocks, plants, and a yellow submarine in his aquaponic tank. What should I name my betta fish? Well, I feel like the obvious answer is Ringo.
Oh, I like that.
Ringo. With the yellow submarine.
Oh, I love that. Ringo's great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Do we both guess or do we, is it, I mean, I don't think I can beat that.
I mean, you can come up with something and then we can decide. Let's say I never mention Ringo and just keep in mind that, you know, this person named Cam, you know, I typically listen for any sort of little, you know, obviously trigger words, whether it's the name right. Cam or the age 27 or New York City, you know, the in the basement and health issues and betta fish and blue and purple and red fins and rainbow rocks.
Yeah. Is it, I'm curious, like, is this a type of fish that it causes you to have relaxation or something?
I don't know. I imagine most fish kind of cause relaxation. That's how I feel. I would love to have a fish tank, and Stephanie hates fish tanks.
Okay.
But I would love, in fact, you know what my dream is? I would love to have an entire wall.
Wow.
Separating two rooms as a fish tank.
Wow. I respect that.
Is what I would want. Well, and I would love to sit and watch it like people watch TV or movies and just watch fish swim around.
Stephanie, I really hope you're listening to this and that you'll reconsider Tig's plan to separate two rooms of your home with a wall-sized fish tank, because it's such a good idea and such a sort of a practical idea.
Is it practical?
No, I'm making a joke. Okay, first of all, I want to say that Ringo, Tig's naming of the fish Ringo, to me, is exciting gold.
Oh.
It's exciting gold.
Okay, or?
No, I'm not going to say an or because I think it's exciting gold. I think it wins the prize. And all that I'll say is yes, and you call the fish Ringo, and then when someone says, what's your fish's name? You say, this is my fish, Ringo. This is his solo work.
That's really good. You could also get another fishbowl, put extra fish in there, and say, this is the all-star band.
Oh, my God.
Because you know Ringo and his all-star band?
Yeah, of course.
Yes, of course. Oh my gosh.
This is
and
the all-star band.
Here's another option. You get a goldfish and call it Boring Gold.
Oh, Boring Gold. Wow.
Yeah.
This
because a betta fish just sits there.
Wow.
Boring Gold. And that's boring gold.
Well done. Ringo and Boring Gold.
Yes. Mike, that is the end. We've reached the end of the show. Thank you so much for joining me. I know you're a busy human being on the planet with a family, a child, a career, and you're in your friend's house.
For the good internet.
Yes.
For the good internet. But Tig, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I love you.
I love you.
I love your work. And
I love your work.
I so appreciate you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Do you have anything you'd like to promote into people's ears?
People, if they haven't found my podcast Working It Out, it is a real true labor of love, and Tig's episode is a perfect place to start. And actually, another fun episode is the Conan O'Brien episode, which is really what a funny, funny human being that guy is.
Yes, you discovered him, right?
Yes. When I was his intern 20 years ago, I discovered him, actually, yeah.
That's amazing. Well, thank you, Mike. It was so great to see you and so great to have you on. Thanks for all of your boring gold.
Thank you for your exciting gold. Oh, and the other thing I would love to plug is my book, which is called The New One, Painfully True Stories from a Reluctant Dad with Poetry from Jay Hopestein, my wife. It's a good Father's Day gift.
Don't Ask Tig is hosted by me, Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, Shayna Deloria, and Ryan Lohr. Our editor is Beth Perlman, executive producer Lauren D., engineering and sound mixing by Johnny Vince Evans and Eric Romani. Digital production by Christina Lopez. Talent booking by Marianne Ways. Production support from Pizza Shark. Our theme music is Friend and Tig by Edie Brickell and Kyle Crusham. And Listen to Your Heart by Edie Brickell. Special thanks to Hunter Seidman, Lily Kim, and Alex Schaffert. Concept developed by Tracy Mumford. Our executive consultant is Dean Capello and Gobsmack Studios. You can always ask for advice at don'asktig.org. Just write in with your problem or send us a voicemail. Remember to follow us on social media at Don't Ask Tig. Don't Ask Tig is a production of American Public Media. And as always, thanks, Dana, and I'll tell Becky.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.